Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it.
Today we have Oded Karev. He heads the robotic process automation at NICE. So he is like the CEO of NICE RPA. NICE is a $1.6 billion company with a portfolio of software solutions that includes RPA. Within the RPA space, NICE is known for their contact center automation, especially with their attendant automation bot, Neva. In this podcast, Oded shares with us the 18-year history of NICE RPA and how NICE is building a better future with people-first, easier, smarter, and state-of-the-art automation solutions. Let's listen in. Hello, Oded. Thanks for joining us here on the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's great to have you on.
Happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Oded. Again, can you tell us something about yourself so that our viewers know?
All right. So, Oded Karev, I'm the general manager of NICE, a RPA line of business, which means in large portfolio company that I owns everything that is robotics within NICE. Everything that is within RPA. I'm the CEO of NICE robotics business. I've been doing this going back to 2015 almost. So ever since the RPA market started to emerge and from the nascency and taking it up to the great place it is today. Exciting times and an exciting role to be in these times.
Yeah, right. So how did NICE RPA come out to be in within the overall NICE, right? NICE is a much bigger company, probably even bigger than UiPath. So how did this RPA origin originate within NICE?
Yeah, so yeah, we're much larger than our competitors. NICE is a $1.6 billion company with portfolio of enterprise software. So yes, a very big a software provider. So NICE RPA story starts back 18 years ago in 2003, where a small company was founded in Israel as a startup, and there had a mission to solve a problem that was then referred to as unified desktop, right? Multiple applications, and the employee needs to navigate multiple applications to solve or to process a specific process. And they came with a solution and they called the company Igloo. Igloo, not the Eskimo Igloo, but E as electronic and glue as stitched together. Mm-hmm. So just by the name of the company, you understand that they came up with a solution that was supposed to stitch multiple applications on the desktop of the employees to make the work streamlined and process efficiency and so on. And their focus was contact center, front office work. And in front office work, most of the processes are executed in real time. So they needed to have a robot that executes in real time. Back then, they didn't call it a robot, they called it a client. But the idea was we need some sort of a solution to work on the desktop with the employee to stitch applications together, to automate stuff, to take data from one system to the other, create a unified view and so on. And that is actually how attended automation was born. Back in 2003, 18 years ago, no one called it attended automation at the time. That's a term that I coined about 5 years ago, but back in the day, that was the first solution. Igloo had a nice success within contact center domain and selling this a solution for guidance and process automation within contact centers around the world. And it got on NICE radar. It got NICE attention. NICE, the bigger NICE, the over $1 billion of revenue NICE is the world's largest contact center solution provider. And NICE thought that the Igloo solution is a nice complement to our suite. And Igloo was acquired by NICE. This acquisition happened in 2010, so a decade ago. At the beginning, most of the focus was around taking the Igloo product that was a startup solution, and it had a lot of the maturity issues that startup solutions had, right? you buy a solution from a startup, it has a lot of emphasis on functionality, but the scalability, the security, these sort of things were not necessarily state of the art, right? And when you sell enterprise software, NICE is a high-end enterprise provider. 85% of the Fortune 100 are NICE customers. The Igloo solution was catered and took and sold into the NICE install base. Most of the effort went into making the solution true enterprise grade. And then 2012, 2013, we found that some of the customers who bought this Igloo solution didn't use it on a desktop, men working with machine in real time, like the solution was designed to, but they created or they installed another workstation and have the process run and automated on a workstation separated from what the employee was doing. And that is pretty much what we know today as unattended automation. There was still a bit of a product gap to close because when the automation works like that, you need to have the control room, you need to have the prioritization queue and which a task is sent to which robot, the audit trail, the monitoring, but the gap from what Igloo was doing to what is pure unattended RPA was relatively small. So if you think of NICE evolution, NICE has actually evolved from attended to unattended automation. As I said, from a marketing standpoint, we cannot take claim on the term RPA. That belongs to Pat Gehry and his great marketing idea. But when they came up with that name and the name started to emerge, back in the days, I'm speaking 2014, 15, we were pretty much the only two solutions in the market. And we needed to differentiate what we do versus what Blue Prism were doing because everything was robotics. And this is where I coined the name attended and unattended to differentiate the work that is done on a server, the unattended automation that we and Blue Prism were doing versus the automation we were doing on the desktop that was attending a human. So you either take something completely end-to-end to the server or you do it on the desktop. Naturally, using a server-side automation and desktop-side automation didn't resonate well with buyers who are not technical. So we came with attended and unattended, and that's our claim for fame or our contribution to the automation world. So that's kind of the journey. We've been providing both, as I said, unattended since 2003 as part of NICE since 2010, unattended since 2012. So pretty much one of the founding fathers of the RPA market.
Yeah, that's very interesting because the last year you said is 2012 and that's when UiPath, I think was at that time called Deskover and they started introducing their offering. So yeah, I mean, very interesting. And I'm glad I asked about the history because that's a long history which I didn't know about NICE RPA. Oh, that's amazing. So... do you want to add something?
No.
Okay. So just fast forwarding to today. So how do you position yourself in the market? I know you're more contact center focused. And so how do you differentiate yourself in this? Because now the market has become so crowded, right? And it's also that now there are more players in the automation space. It's just not RPA and DPA. Or digital process automation, the lines are blurring. And by some estimate, there are around 500 players out there. So how do you see this market and how do you differentiate yourself?
All right. So two different questions. I'll take them at a time. First, yes, the market is becoming more crowded and it's good, right? It means the market is growing. It becomes interesting. Bigger, large softwares are entering via acquisitions or homegrown development. Small startups are trying to get on the bandwagon. But I do think there is a gap that was created between the founding fathers of the market and the more the newer players. There's also a barrier to entry when it comes to the investment in R&D and technology. I know it looks very simple. or it is very simple to build an automation. It's not very simple to build an automation platform. And it's definitely not very simple to build an enterprise grade level automation platform that would be easy to use on one hand, but have all the enterprise software requirements on the other. So eventually, although the market, as you said, became very crowded, when I go to the competitive situation and I need to go head to head, it's usually the same 3-4 players that compete and go to the best of final in the RFPs, right? Sometimes you see a new player, but most likely it's the same usual suspects that you need to differentiate again at the higher end of the market. If you have an SMB strategy, which we don't have at NICE, then maybe it's a different thing. So that's kind of my view of the market. The blur line between DPA, not sure. I don't see it. I don't see BPM becoming part of RPA. I think they're very distinct software. Now, one big BPM company made an acquisition into RPA, and this I mean Pega by acquiring OpenSpan, and that made a rattle in the BPM space, leading APN to make an acquisition and IBM to make an acquisition as a reaction to that. But I don't think that this means a convergence of the two markets is happening. We still don't see them in the big RPA bids and RFPs and big RPA install base. And the big RPA players don't have DPA or BPM capabilities. So I would challenge whether there is a convergence between these two markets happening. There is a convergence happening with the process mining or process discovery, which is much more aligned and has a tighter connection and a closer adjacency to RPA. And I think that is a direction that the market is growing. And we see either through partnerships or through acquisition, you know, UiPath bought Process Gold or a homegrown development. We developed the Automation Finder and so on. But I think this would be more of the market direction. So that's the second question that I kind of got from you. And the third one goes to how we differentiate and into NICE. And you mentioned our contact center legacy. Of course, we don't run away from it. I think this is a big differentiation that we have, our contact center domain expertise, and more importantly, our ability to automate in real time. Almost all RPA solutions today are asynchronic, right? The robot sits there, wait for the task to hit the robot, and it's not real time. Where our legacy and our ability to automate on the desktop in real time, man working with machine, is still our number one differentiation. That being said, this capability is no longer just for contact center. A lot of our install base are middle office or back office organizations or functions within enterprises who see the value of having a personal robot for the employee, helping him with their process guidance, helping him with automating mundane tasks in real time on the desktop versus doing it asynchronically via unattended automation. So I do think that our number one differentiation is still our attended automation capability. We're doing it longer than anyone else. As I said, 18 years of knowledge and experience. We have a big competitive gap when it comes to our capability, what we can automate, how we can automate, how we connect, what we add to that when it comes to task mining and knowing the desktop and understanding the desktop, the domain expertise and so on. And of course, being part of the bigger NICE, right? We're not a startup that is dependent on venture capital. There is the big backing of NICE. NICE generated over $400 million in cash in 2020, even in COVID days. I don't need to go to my VC and ask for money. I go to my CEO and get a budget. So NICE financial strength and ability as a large, stable portfolio company naturally differentiate in the RPA market that the leaders are still standalone startup mode companies.
Exactly. Okay. And so you said 400 million from the NICE RPA, right?
No, I said 400 million in net profit. This is the public data. NICE is a publicly traded company. Right. We're traded in the NASDAQ. Okay. With a market cap of around 19 billion, depending on how the stock acted today in the market, but a market cap of $19 billion. And right. This is not an evaluation, right? This is daily measured and examined by the market. So this is the nice market cap. And as any publicly traded company, we release our annual reports, right? We release our financial reports.
Right.
And in the financial reports of 2020, you'll be able to see we did over $1.6 billion in revenue and over $400 million of net profit, total nice.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you for clarifying. All right, so now recently you did release the latest 6.4 version and you now have a click to automate, and it seems like you're bringing together process discovery, which can generate workflows, which is a great evolution of RPA. I know many people working in this area and it's great to see that coming from NICE. Can you give us a quick overview of how much it can generate? Because I think as this becomes more and more, you know, RPA is tending towards learning on its own and generating its own scripts. And that's very exciting. So to what extent do you think is that getting generated? And also as a follow-up question, as a second question, you know, to what extent do you see overall just the RPA itself being automated probably in the next few years?
All right. So first I'll start with saying 7.4. Just it's a technical within NICE, but it's version 7.4. 6.4 is like, 7 years old now or 6 years old now or whatever.
Okay, 7.4. Okay.
Or maybe, I don't know. But yeah, 7.4 was released end of December. And this is the first time we GA'd what we call Click to Automate. Mm-hmm. Click to Automate is a capability where we connected our process discovery tool, which is a task mining tool, into our automation studio, which is the design environment where we build automations. Now, it accelerates the automation build, but it's still supervised by a human. What do I mean by that? The way it operates is that the business analyst, the SME, the guy in the COE that needs to decide the business case and what needs to be automated, he's the guy reviewing the automation finder desktop or dashboard, sorry. And this process analyst or SME or whoever he would be, he looks at the automation dashboard and he finds in the discovery tool few recommendations, right? So we're still in a phase where the automation finder and the RPA tool is providing recommendations. It's not building the bots completely himself. He's providing recommendations and he's telling the business analyst, these are the best fit for automation. Based on unsupervised learning algorithms and machine learning, we were able to identify, do the pattern analysis and clustering and mapping and all the smart AI technology that is behind it to come up by saying, we think that this is a process that should be automated. However, the final call is still with the human. It's still with the business analyst. What we added is we added a button to that specific dashboard where in a click of a button, if he says, yes, this process I want to automate, this is the process I want to automate. With a click of a button, this process is now translated into how automations should look in the design environment. So with the click of a button, you build the automation end to end. Now, you can then run play and the automation would work. However, we all know that in reality, this is not the way automations are being built. What we were able to identify is the happy path, is the skeleton of the automation. And we bring in the connectivity and we bring in the logic, but it's still just one path. On top of that, you need to do two things. You need to add the exceptions, right? So let's say I found an automate on how to increase credit limit for a bank, but then there will be different segments or different amounts that may have different happy path, a different process deviations. So from the happy path, you have exceptions with different threshold. This still needs to be added and built manually. And of course, there's always the testing, right? We create the automation, but we are an enterprise-grade software. Anything we built, before it goes to production, it needs to go to proper testing. No respectable IT organization would introduce an automation into the production environment and into the live environment and impacting people's desktops without proper testing. So we are able to accelerate significantly the development time by having the skeleton created. Then you need to run the exception and build them, and then you need to test that. So it is a quantum leap in the connection between the analyst and the automation builder in the COE. It is a significant acceleration to the way robots are being built and the ROI and how fast it is to launch an automation. To your question, I don't think we're in a point of the full vision of robots, building a robot without any governance anytime soon. This is still requires manual judgment, or I would not say manual, I said human judgment, to press the button of click to automate. The robot is doing a lot of the recommendation, but the judgment call and the thinking is done by the human.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's how it should be. The humans are in control, and over a period of time, you know, we can improve what the bot can suggest and what it can build, but a human is in control. And you know, so that's great to know. So just wanted to talk a bit about Neva, NEVA, yep, which is an interesting product, right? You've got added conversational AI capabilities, voice assistant. I do see, you know, voice becoming probably the next operating system. So what are you seeing in that area with Neva? Are you seeing widespread usage of Neva, or if not, you know, what could be stopping this widespread usage of voice assistants?
So let's start by talking what is Neva, right?
Right.
Because Neva is more than just a conversational bot.
Mm-hmm.
Neva is our attended automation solution. Neva is the desktop robot that is installed on the desktop and boost employees' performance and help them do better by automating mind-end tasks or providing process guidance or whatever. What we did with the launch of Neva is two things. First, we took an amorphic form of attended automation or desktop robot and put a friendly name on it. And we did it to reduce the automation anxiety, to increase adoption. We found that it's easier for employees to actually work with the desktop robot if the robot have a name and a face and an avatar, like Siri or like Alexa if you have Siri for your phone and Alexa for your home, you have Neva for your work. But it's the same concept of a friendly robot that helps you with guidance and data and stuff that it can do in automation. So that is like why we came with Neva and packaged everything under Neva. And then exactly as you said, we understood that the world is going and voice is the next operating system. So if we have something new and we repackage our desktop robot, we need to add voice activation capability to it. And the employees should be able to talk to Neva as well. However, this is not proprietary technology for us. The proprietary part is the desktop robot. We actually use third party for the voice activation side. So yes, employees can now say, hey, Neva, what, can I increase this customer credit limit? Hey, Neva, can I take a break? Hey, Neva, can you summarize this call? But they can also activate Neva from a button that they click or from via text or even just automated triggering via screen events. This is just a small portion of what Neva can do that we added is to be activated by voice. But this is just to align with the market trend. Neva is so much more than just a voice bot. She's a full-blown attended automation solution.
Okay. So my understanding was that Neva was the voice part, but okay, thanks for clarifying that. And I do agree with you on that naming part, because when we were doing RPA for the first time at Fujitsu, our HR intuitively called that bot as Bob so that people could relate to it. And I do see that people can relate better if it has got a name. Great. So apart from Neva, do you have a road, not from a bottom level, but you know, how does your roadmap look like in terms of what you're going to add in the next coming years? Any exciting things that you can share with us?
So a lot of exciting things, not all of them I can share. But I think if you think of our roadmap, we are investing in four investment themes, right? The first one we position as easier automation. And we need to continue to invest in solutions like Click to Automate, like our Automation Studio and so on, making automation building and automation maintenance very, very easy. Because the only lifeline that automation solution have is that they're easier versus the cumbersome IT processes to system integration. So that is kind of the first and foremost investment area, is continue the roadmap of making robots easier, more accessible, and so on. The second investment themes is what we call smarter automation. And that's just adding AI components and adding more AI-based capabilities like the process discovery algorithms, like exception handling that we have for monitoring the robot health check and self-healing of robots and so on. So it's easier automation, it's smarter automation, and it's state-of-the-art automation. And that is the boring stuff that, unfortunately, I don't think the RPA market talks about them enough. Everything is easy, everything is simple, everything is scalable. It's not. It's complicated software, it's complicated platform that requires the right level of security, the right level of audit trail, the right level of monitoring and alerting. And if you want to be in an enterprise-grade environment, you need to invest in the state-of-the-art capability. Otherwise, you sell to an enterprise, but then it never scales. And we pride ourselves in having few very, very scaled deployments. It only comes from investing in state-of-the-art automation. And the last feature we invest in is what we call automation for the people. And this is the attended automation capability. It's our big differentiator and continue to be. And we need to continue to invest in that part to have more unified desktop-like capabilities, very easy to use for men working with machine, to continue to focus on how we improve and how we boost employees' performance. I think this is one of the things that differentiate NICE in the market. Our vision that we don't look at robots as a solution to replace people. We don't look at the unattended robots as the end goal of they just take tasks and send it to the server. We look as robots, at low robots, as tools to enhance and improve employees' performance. Just again, just like you think of Google Home and how Google made your life at home or Alexa so much easy and easier and fun and so on, you can use Neva and NICE attended robots to make your work life easier and better. And that's our vision. This is where we're going to continue to invest. So easier automation, smarter automation, state-of-the-art automation, and automation for the people.
Great, great. Easier and smarter. From a developer perspective, do you plan to have a downloadable version? I know we can request for it now, but do you have something in the pipeline where like you're looking at a community version or similar?
All right. So two different things. We have a trial version. We have an available community version. Anyone can download it. It may got lost in our recent marketing for what you can ask for. I'll explain it in a second. But we have what we call a trial version, which is the equivalent of a community version in some competitors. Just go to www.nice.com/RPA. Look for the button free trial and you can download the trial version. It's exactly like any other community version. You download the robot to your workstation, including the design environment, access to the studio, and you can build automation that would run locally. It's not the full-blown version where you can publish. You don't have the server side, but you can have all the capabilities for the desktop automation to run locally. What we recently launched, and you can ask for, is not a community version. We are offering a free-of-charge, unattended automation robot to use in your production environment. This is not a trial version. This is the full-blown server-side unattended automation. The reason we offer that is we want customers to, we know customers start with unattended and then move to attended, but this is not our focus anyway. So we're happy to help customers start their automation journey with us by using few unattended robots free of charge. And then as they scale, they can start using attended automation. This is what we charge for. Naturally, this is also an offering we came up with to resonate during COVID days, that a lot of our customers were like, I don't have the budget right now. I have a lot of I need to save costs, but I have a lot of scrutiny on IT spend. I cannot buy a new solution. And then we came in and say, you know something? We are nice. We have the financial backing and the financial strength to endure the long run. We're willing to partner with you for the long run. We would give you a few unattended robots now for free of charge for 2 years. Use them, see the value. And 2 years from now, when the pandemic would be behind us and you would start scaling and so on, we believe that you will remember we partnered with you and we'll be happy to pay for these robots. So this is an offering that is more around the COVID days and reaching out and laying a hand in these times and helping our customers cope with market challenges. But this is the full blown what you asked for. Okay. This is not a trial version. Trial version you can download. You don't need to ask us for it.
Okay. So so you're doing your part to the community, and you know people can use it for free for now. Okay.
For 2 years, completely free for 2 years.
Okay, that's very interesting. All right. So one final question before we go, Oded. So we've been, as you said, going through COVID. We're probably living through a new normal, and we're into a new year now. So looking forward towards intelligent automation and the whole space, how do you see it evolving?
I think the new normal would require RPA to adjust, just like any other market.
Right.
Some of the RPA capabilities were planned, were built for COVID, right? If you think of the augmented workforce, of a workforce that is both digital and physical, the move to digital, the move to cloud, all of it is going exactly down RPA alley. More than that, the work from home, if you think of attended automation, one of the key capabilities that attended automation brings to the table is process guidance, right? Mm-hmm. In real time, the robot would identify what the employee is doing, monitor the screen and provide pop-ups, provide guidance to the employee. And this is absolutely key when you think of work from home employees. And when you think of the ability of the attended robot to provide guidance in a very distributed way. I think that traditional unattended players that would now try to expand into attended, they would find that it's a very different world out there to install 10,000 attended robots in 10,000 locations because employees are working from 10,000 different homes versus installing 30, 40, 50 attended robots in a server, in the data center, in a single location. It would require very different techniques. But if you come from unattended, these problems were already solved a decade ago. And I think this would be a game changer in how COEs think of distributed robotic workforce. So yes, challenging time ahead of us, a lot of cool stuff. I do see robotics riding the COVID wave. We definitely seen it in the last year, and I see it continuing in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
That's interesting. A growing space, and you're well placed with your people first and attended automation. And attended automation itself is growing. So that's great to know. All right, Oded, thank you so much for your time, taking time to talk with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a true pleasure.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.